Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, we continue now by singing Psalter 79, the stanzas 1 and 2. 79, the stanzas 1 and 2. My God, it was thy grace that did my strength supply, when thou didst hide thy face, so troubled then was I. And what follows, 1 and 2 of Psalter 79. To the Lord in prayer and pray for our land and for our nation, for God's guidance and for a way of repentance also. Most holy and righteous Lord, God of the heavens and of the earth, then we come before thee in this evening hour to bow ourselves before thee. Thou knowest that this is a special service for the National Day of Prayer, one day early, but still a service to think about our land and think about our nation. Then we lay all things before thee. And we can say with Daniel, O Lord, thou seest all things. Thy eyes walk around all of the earth, and thou knowest all the things that have happened in the past years. Thou knowest how the forefathers came, and I know how the land is at this particular moment, with the current government and with the current regulations. Then we have to repent before thy face. When we see what is allowed in the country, all the sins that are taking place, even promoted by the government, Lord, what can we then say? Then the land is desolate. The temples are broken down, and thy name is desecrated in many ways. Lord, it is still a wonder that the country is still here, that we are still able to gather for worship, you are still able to come around thy word to hear what thou hast to say. Lord, thou could have rained with fire from heaven and turned all the countries that do not look unto thee for help and that sinned against thee with fire and brimstone. And thou hast still let us remain in the land of the living. Lord, what can we say? Then we have to say with Daniel, with us there is confusion of faces. Lord, we have to be ashamed. If we look to all that has happened in the past years, and particularly in these days when there is a lot of debate, a lot of people that are protesting against the documents that have leaked out of the Supreme Court, that they might overturn some of the seemingly foundational things in this country, seemingly one of the rights of people to kill the unborn. Lord, what shall we say? Will thou make it well? May the decisions that have been put on paper in a draft be executed, that it might save many of the unborn lives. Lord, thou knowest the slaughter in the last maybe 40, 50 years. Not only here, we look back to our own country as well, even worse. So many lives taken away, more than a war could do. We can so easily think it is there, and it's not close to us. Lord, what a shame. Thou also knowest about the other sins that are promoted in the country, that thy day is no longer kept holy, but used for all kinds of pleasures, for entertainment, for things that do not belong on thy day. Lord, what must we then say to thee? Then we think also of the sins that are promoted in relationships between man and man and women, of people that want to change their gender from one to another. Lord, then we have to think about them as well. Yes, there can be people that have those feelings and are struggling with it. Will they remember those never to sin? But at the same time, we have to say, Lord, that it can and may not be promoted. That we have to be ashamed of these things, yes, it is even so far coming into the schools and being taught there as something that is a right and something that is normal. But it is against thy word. Oh, may we pray thee that our land and nation may be on our knees to beg thee for repentance. That we come before thee with sackcloth and ashes like a Daniel, and begging thee for mercy to look upon us. Lord, we cannot say that there's anything good in us, but we may come before thee because of thy mercy's sake. Will thou do it for thy great name's sake? Thou hast given thy name, thou hast made thy name known in the past as a nation under God, a nation that was founded upon thy word, a Christian nation. Will thou bring it back with whatever challenges it might be? Repent. Bring that repentance into the hearts of sinners. May we then turn unto thee for help. Lord, and thou knowest all things. Convert the president. Convert their vice president, all those that are in authorities, all those that have to judge the country. Oh, we think specifically of the Supreme Court. Will thou give them the courage to continue to judge according to their word and not according to the protests of the world? Lord, then we come before thee, humbly crying unto thee, asking for mercy. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We will now read from Daniel chapter 9, as you could see it in the bulletin, from verse 3 until verse 19. And there we see Daniel praying unto the Lord when he has read in the books of Jeremiah the number of years that were fulfilled of the exile into Babylon. And then he comes up before the Lord and he prays the Lord for a blessing, and he confesses all the sin and he asks the Lord to look upon them. So we will start at verse 3, reading unto verse 19, which is the prayer of Daniel. Let us hear with all reverence what the Lord has to say. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God, and made my confession, and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping covenant and mercy to them that love him, and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. We have committed iniquity and done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we heard unto thy servants the prophets which spake in thy name, to our kings, princes, and our forefathers, to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, and they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings and to our princes and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he said before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel hath transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which spake against us, against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as has been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us, yet we not our prayer before the Lord, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, has gotten thee renown, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. And then our text. O Lord, according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O God, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary, which is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. For, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. So far the reading of God's holy and infallible word. As we said already, the text is from the verses 16 through 19. Congregation, a question, maybe a simple one, but good to think about. Do we pray? And maybe you think it's a very strange question, because of course we do pray. We are raised in a Christian home. Our parents taught us to pray. We pray every meal, and we pray maybe at the end of the day that the Lord may give us a blessed night, and in the morning that we wake up again. But if we pray, what do we pray for? Is it our family? Is it our children? Our business? Personal life? That's all good. And it's necessary. We need to pray for. But do you also pray for the nation? Do you pray for the president and the governors that rule our nation? That is so necessary. And that's one of the reasons why we have a National Prayer Day. Now, it's not meant in the first place to pray for myself, but to pray for land and nation. But if we do, what caused us to pray? Did we see some good things in the country? Is that why we pray? Oh, Daniel had, as we've read in this passage, different causes to pray unto the Lord. And if we pray, what is our ground and foundation to plead with the Lord? Is the good things we still see? Or is it based on God's mercies? Well, let's listen to Daniel's prayer today, what he prayed for Israel. And the theme for this service is a prayer for land and people, three different points. In the first place, the cause of this prayer. In the second place, the request in this prayer. And third, the ground for this prayer. So, a prayer for land and people, the cause, the request, and the ground. Let us first look at the cause, and we can find it in verse 16. Daniel prays there, O Lord, according to thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from the city of Jerusalem and thy holy mountain. He speaks here unto the Lord. Who is this? Who is the Lord here? Is it the Yahweh? Is it the covenant God that is mentioned here? No. Yahweh would usually be in four capitals. But here we see only one capital. It means it is another name for the Lord. It is the master, the one that has authority, the one that possesses, that Lord we speak about. And how he speaks about one of the causes for prayer is the Lord's anger. Read with me, thine anger. And interestingly, in the original, it has to do with the nose. In the original, you would read, become hot off your nose. And that's kind of like when the anger is inflamed, you sometimes see with people, you see breath is taking their nose, and you see sometimes in pictures too, when they depict someone that is angry, what do you see? Steam coming out of someone's nose. So we kind of know the same expression. But with us, oftentimes when we get angry, it's an emotion. Something happened, and we suddenly get angry. Let's say you now walk out of the church building and you see a car and you recognize your car is damaged. The neighbor wrecked your car. Would you not become angry at that moment? Who has wrecked my car? Which is logical. But no, for God, it is not emotion. For God, anger is something that is controlled, that is justified. We can say this. God's anger is a response to the sin of man. And it is always just. And the result of God's anger is chastisement and punishment for sin. Now, God's not only angry, Daniel says, he's also furious. We read, thy fury. And that's very much related to the previous word, anger. And fury has the idea of heat, wrath, and a burning anger. And the Bible is often related to kindling a fire. But a fire, what is a fire? It destroys something. And that's exactly what you read often with this word. For example, in Deuteronomy 9:19. For I was afraid of the anger and hot displeasure, that word, wherewith the Lord was wroth against you to destroy you. Congregation, let's think about this through. What does Daniel say? He prays unto the Lord, the owner, the one that has authority over everything. What do we think about God? What is the view of God in our country and nation of the Lord? Has he the authority? Is he the owner of the United States and the Netherlands? Is he the ruler over politicians? Is he the author and authority over our judges? No, we see a tendency that we go away from the Lord and we rule the nation according to our own imaginations. And that's problematic. Isn't it right that God will become angry? Does God not say, where is my honor? Is it not the country I have made? Can be true, God can be angry. furious with the U.S. and with the Netherlands, and you did not humble us before him. What ways would we see that? Well, think about the sickness that has been around for about 2 years. Can that be a warning of the Lord? Be careful. I might send something stronger than a sickness. And I know it can be misused as well. Think about floodings in other parts of the country. There was so much water that parts of villages were destroyed. Hurricanes going around and destroying homes. Other parts of the country, you see fire going around in forest and whole parts of the countries are destroyed. Can it be a sign of the Lord, of his anger? Well, think about the current leader we mentioned in the prayer. How are they ruling the nation? And we hear our president speak about the current rule in relation to abortion. What does he say? It is a right of humans to kill someone else. That's our leader, dear friends. Now, what is the worst judgment? Is it not this, that when God no longer warns? When God warns, what does he want to see? Like John the Baptist, flee from the wrath to come. And then people have time to repent. People have time to flee. But when God no longer warns, is it not the most dangerous judgment? It's the same with parents. If you have warned your child so often times, there comes a time that you say, I'm not going to warn you anymore. It's now your way. It's the worst thing a parent can do. Let a child just go and he's heading to destruction. And isn't that also in our churches? How oftentimes we don't hear anymore about the warnings against sin, and people may live on, continue on as they want. How often do we not hear about a soft preaching? The edges are taken away. There are no more warnings. There is an easy belief in the church. How many do not think they go to heaven and at the same time they keep living in sin? But dear friends, that cannot happen. And there is no warnings against that. Is that not the judgment of God? How many millions of those that live in that way would appear before God one day and be silenced? And if you then think about the warnings and about the judgment of God, we may fear and it should bring us on our knees, dear friends. Why would the Lord become angry? Is it without reason? No. What do we see in our passage? Well, it's because of man's sin and iniquity. Read with me in verse 16. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Because it's a reason why Daniel prays this. It's a reason why the Lord is angry. And he mentions two different things. The first one, the first issue is our sins. What is sin? Well, it's transgressing the law of God. It can mean that you do something that the God forbids, or you don't do something what God asks you to do. God says, don't steal, and when you steal, you transgress the law of God. But sinning has in the original also to do with missing the mark, missing your target. And maybe some of you have used guns and shooting on a target or maybe a bow. And what you don't want to do, you want to shoot at a target. And if you miss it, you've missed your goal. Well, think about that with sin as well. Sin is actually the same thing. God has made man to glorify God, to point to him. What do people do? They turn the arrow and they glorify themselves. No, and Daniel doesn't say their sin. He doesn't point to others. No, he says our sin, including himself, including the people that are in Babylon. Why? Well, if you read later what happens, then some people go back with Zerubbabel, but most of them want to stay in Babylon. They are okay there. They love the country. They love the nation there. They have no desire to return. But this is not the only issue. Now, the second issue we find is the iniquities of our fathers. That means their wrong actions, their crooked ways they had. What do we need to think of? Well, if you go through our passage,
from verses 5 and upward, we see different things mentioned. Verse 5, for example, they didn't keep God's precepts. God had prescribed certain things. They didn't do it. Verse 6 says they didn't walk in the laws of the Lord. Yes, even more, verse 9, they transgressed the law of Moses. What do we need to think of? Well, think about this. They were only to sacrifice the Lord. But what did they do? They offered Baal. Think about Elijah. 400 prophets of Baal were worshipping him, and the people were silent. Yeah, even worse, they even oppressed the poor. They murdered their children. Think about Moloch. They were connecting with all the Gentiles around them, which was not allowed. Oh yes, the prophet has warned enough. He said, don't do. If you would do, God would bring you into exile. Which was just, and they didn't listen. They just went their own way. Verse 6, we read that. But now we can look to Israel, what all happened there. But can we not say in the same ways things about ourselves? Our countries. How many sins are going around in our countries and nations? And should it not cause us to pray? What kind of thing? Yeah, offerings. No, not the way as they did in Israel. But what did happen with the Moloch? They offered their children unto a false god. What do we do? Unborn children are offered to our healthcare system. And we call it a right, and we even promote it in the country. Think about the other sin. Specifically in the Netherlands, even allowed and promoted. Euthanasia. Government allowed it already many years ago, and now they're even thinking about the moment of allowing it for a 12-year-old. And for whatever reason you want, if you don't feel well, if you feel depressed, if you don't feel your life is worth it, you may take it. What to think about those relationships between men and men, women, women, or homosexuality, LGBT? New laws are introduced in our countries, and we have to accept it. It's taught in the public schools as if it is normal. But we have to remember, dear friends, that this was one of the sins in Sodom and Gomorrah. That God heard the cry of their sins, and it was the reason he destroyed it. Think about fornication and adultery, what also happens. How many divorces in our country are not biblical? How many fornications and sins are promoted in television and films and whatever it is to look at and people enjoy it? You think about another thing, something that is no longer there. 50 years ago, it was normal to have the Bible in the school, in the public service. Prayer was very normal. It's taken away. And to mention the last one, we can think about the Lord's Day. Desecration. 50 years ago, Grand Rapids was silent. Nowadays, shops are open, restaurants are open, and people enjoy their lives. They play their games, they play their sports on the Lord's Day, which is not the purpose of the Day of the Lord. Do we not think that this all now provokes the Lord to anger? How long can this continue in our countries? I include the Netherlands as well, dear friends. Should we not be on our knees for our country? Shouldn't it cause as much prayer to the Lord? Lord, that thou wilt convert the nation, that it will convert the president and all the others. Because what happened to Israel? Well, they were brought into exile. Jerusalem was broken down. It was become a reproach. We read in verse 16, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Jerusalem and thy people. Daniel doesn't speak about I and my people. No, he speaks about the people that belong to the Lord, the covenant people. And Jerusalem, what is that? It was the place where the worship took place. It was the place where David reigned, where Solomon had reigned. And now this has become a reproach. It became a scorn and a disgrace to all those around them. A shame. Let me give an example. Let's say you have a home that is not perfect, and you have a lot of poverty in your home, and that's why one of the reasons you cannot maintain it. And some pipes are broken in the basement, and you see things happening there, and you invite people to your home, and you see that, and you feel ashamed because people see it. And now that neighbor that just came to visit you, he's telling everyone in the neighborhood what has happened. How would you feel? Doesn't it feel shameful for you that someone reveals what is in your home? But now for Israel, why has it become a reproach? Well, Canaan was desolate. The people were gone. Jerusalem's walls were broken down. Their gates were burnt. We read in Nehemiah 1:3. This was a feeling of shame. Others reviled them. They said, is this God's people? Is this the land of God that gave them? Where is the God they trusted? Can he not help them? But who is causing that shame? Well, Daniel says, all that are about us, the surrounding nations and countries. The Edomites, for example. The Moabites and the Amorites. Those that were coming from Esau and Lot. The tyrants and the Philistines, some other Gentiles that were there surrounding them. They love to see Jerusalem be destroyed. The congregation, have we maybe cried like Daniel? Has our country and our people not become a reproach? If we see the many sins, the government promoting an unchristian behavior, and what about the name of the Lord? Do we not feel reproached and ashamed? Well, a lot of countries say, is the U.S., is the Netherlands still Christian? See what they do. They promote sin. And we say, still one nation under God. Is that true? Yes, when we think back about those former days when the Pilgrim Fathers came to have a Christian nation, they tried to have a Christian government and a Christian rule. They strove for it, and now? No, the country is not literally desolate. There's many people living here. But it's not in a spiritual way becoming more and more desolate. Shouldn't it drive us to prayer and a great cry, Lord, behold the desolation of the U.S. and the Netherlands. Now we have seen all those things. God's anger. All those sins that passed by and the reproach that Daniel saw and it requested him something in prayer. Our second point. The request in his prayer. If you look with me in verse 17, you read, now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications. Where does Daniel now go with all his trouble? He goes to, O our God, the mighty one, the God of Israel that had his people. What does he ask? Hear the prayer of thy servant. Means listen to the prayer. Give attention to it. Answer my cry. How is it possible, Daniel? God has forsaken the people because they have sinned. God's anger is just. You just confessed it. But is there a way that God would hear? Yes. When there's those groanings, those that have trouble, that seek him in humility, he will hear. What do we read in Isaiah 66? To this man will I look, to him that is of a poor and contrite spirit, and that trembleth at my word. Was Daniel then of a poor and a contrite spirit? Great question. If you read in verse 3, what do we read? I, Daniel, set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. That was a way of describing that people were mourning in those days. Now did he seek the Lord with prayer? Prayer simply said is speaking to God to declare it to him. It means to be believed that God exists. It means to come before him as a humble sinner, an unworthy one, one that is earnest. As Daniel even adds, he says, hear to my supplications. It's the same thing, but then said in a different way. It has a sense of pleading, asking favor of the Lord. And often in the Bible, it's related with weeping. They shall come with weeping and with supplications will I, that's the Lord, lead them. Jeremiah 31:9. Again, that question, dear friends, do we pray for the country? Or are we too busy? Busy with work and family and home and all the other things? We might be busy. That needs to be done. I'm not saying anything about that. But are we, myself included, not often guilty not to pray? Or to pray very meager? Or it's not heartfelt? And if we pray, how do we pray for the country? Do we pray to a mighty one, one that is able to change the nation? Yes, he is almighty. And if we pray, do we then pray like Daniel as an humble servant? Low, humble, with fasting and mourning. What did he do? He sought the Lord. What about us? Do we have this attitude? No, we feel that God is, that we have no right that God would hear, but we still cry unto the Lord, asking him for his favor and his mercy. Now we know we can change it ourselves. Many do sin. Many don't even know better. We cannot make it better either. But would God not do the same thing if we pray the same as Daniel upon our nation? If we truly humble ourselves before the Lord, would God not hear? No, God doesn't need great men. Think about what James writes. He says, Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed, and it rained not for 3 years and a half. And he prayed again, and it rained. And the Bible tells us, if the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. No, Daniel not only ask the Lord to hear prayer, but he also shows the Lord what he desires. And the first thing he mentions is favor on the temple. You read in verse 17, cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. Cause to shine, what does it mean? Well, it simply said to give light. And you read the same word in the beginning of the Bible when it speaks about the lights in the firmament, to give light upon the earth. Genesis 1:15. What does it mean? That God has to shine as a light in the churches and in the other places? No. But God giving light that has the meaning of his providence, his care, his favor, his presence. And what does Daniel then ask to shine? Well, his face. What is God's face? Does he literally have a face like we have? No. But it is human language to express who God is or his character or what he does. We have to think about God's presence and God's favor. Think about Adam. But do we read about him when he just had sinned? We read that he hid himself from the face of the Lord. The Lord became present to him. And now in other words, we can say Daniel asked the Lord to show his presence in favor. Yeah, where? In his own life? No. Upon thy sanctuary, that means the temple, the place of sacrifice and atonement, that was broken down. And Daniel desires to see the temple rebuilt again in Jerusalem, that the sacrifices would be brought again and the blood would be shed again to show the Lord's presence. My congregation, maybe just think about this question. What was the request of Daniel? Not in the first place to restore the country, no. Not to return back to the country of Canaan, no. But to have the presence of the Lord in the temple, in the worship of God, to return his favor into his own house. And if we pray, dear friends, what do we pray for? Is this the main purpose? To have God's presence, God's nearness, and God's honor? Or do we only pray about the issue seen? Yes, we may pray about it, but it's not primary. Do we seek God's honor in prayer, his things? If you're in the right place, dear friends, we seek God's honor first. And all the other things are secondary in a way. For that reason, we need to know the Lord. How can we seek the Lord's favor if we do not know the Lord? No, then we need to know Him. As in knowing God's presence, that means to be fearful at first, like Adam. Like others as well, Saul, who art thou, Lord? They wanted to hide themselves because of their sin. But then also, we see that they come in God's favor. When Adam has confessed the sin, he gets the first promise in Scripture. And then we can also seek for God's favor in the country. Where first? In the church. If it doesn't happen here, dear friends, if it doesn't happen in God's house, why would the Lord then do it in the rest of the country? But if the Lord works in the church, would He not change the country from the inside out? And child of the Lord, do you pray for the nation? But do you also pray for the persecuted Christians? Yes, they belong to Christ too when they are truly His children. No, we shouldn't only seek it so far away. Let's come closer. How about praying for our children or grandchildren? Yes, it is important to pray for the nation, and that's specifically today. But what is the closest part of the nation? It is in our own homes, our families. Well, maybe then pray for it. Well, for their conversion, that they may know the Lord in truth. If we don't do it, dear friends, how can we expect the Lord to work in our families, to work in their hearts? Is it not one of the tasks of parents and grandparents to do this? Or maybe you see certain sins in their life, they go their own way, they don't want to listen. Daniel saw it too. His own nation, far from God, but he humbled himself in prayer unto God. Yes, the Lord's favor upon his temple was one of the things, but what was the other issue? Well, Jerusalem and the temple were broken down. They were in ruins. And Daniel now desires that the Lord looks upon it. Verse 18. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. Daniel, as it were, appeals to two senses of the Lord. The one is his ears to hear and the other one is his eyes to see. The first sense is, incline thine ear to hear. What is an ear? Well, an ear is very simple. It's an organ we listen with. It's something we are alert with. And think about a mother. And mothers in our midst, they know that. When a child is just born and he cries during the night, you're attentive. What's going on? What is the issue? Is it maybe they need food? Is it maybe they have hunger or maybe they have pain? You are alert to what you hear. Well, the same for God. God's ear is His alertness. He's alert to the poor. He's alert to the oppressed and the righteous. And now Daniel asks Him to incline His ear. That means to bend down to listen. And we would do the same thing. Let's say you have a birthday party and it's a noisy room and the person next to you wants to tell you a story. And when you are attentive, what are you going to do? You lean toward the person to listen better what he says. Well, this is what Daniel actually asked. Lord, lean as it were to what is happening here. Look upon it. In the second sense, he points to his God's eyes. Open thine eyes and behold, he says. And we all know, I believe, what it is the difference between open and closed eyes. With closed eyes, we don't see anything. With open eyes, we can see something. But what is God's eye? No, God does not have literal eyes. But it means God's providence, providential care, His guidance, His watching over. An open eye for God is to observe with diligence. He would see the issues in the city. He would take care of them. What does He need to look at? Well, Daniel says, our desolations and the city. What had happened? Well, but 70 years ago, Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had reigned here. But then Nebuchadnezzar came with all his armies and he took the city. He besieged it. He broke the walls. He broke the temple and he took all the vessels back to Babylon. It was a long time ago, 70 years ago. And now Daniel asks the Lord to look upon it again. Look, Lord, the destroyed city. Would thou not care? The congregation, let us apply it to ourselves. After Daniel asked the Lord favor, now he shows the temporal issues. The city is destroyed. The temple is no longer functioning. May we pray the Lord then also to look upon our spiritual desolations. Maybe it will take a long time before something happens. Maybe nothing seemed to change when we pray. But we may plead, Lord, look upon us. Hear the prayer. How can it change without thee? We can't. Dost thou not see the dishonor to thy name and the things that happen? Lord, see the issues, they are many. Hear me. No, we have no power. But with thee is nothing impossible. We need thy guiding eye and thy watching ear over the nation, his watching eye. How can it be well without thee? People of the Lord, you may pray this personal too. If you see the desolations of your own heart, the ruins that it's caused there, the worship of the Lord was destroyed since the fall. And there's only ruins. There's no longer the worship of God, and it's only desolate in my heart. What a fear. And then when I pray, the Lord doesn't seem to hear. He doesn't even seem to look at it. Yes, even with grace, this time can come. Think about Psalm 77. Pitch dark. The man seems to be forsaken by the Lord, and then he needs to ask for God's providing care. He cannot be without. May I encourage you, lay before the Lord. May he hear. He can help. He does see. But he wants to be asked for it, dear friends. Yes, be in asking the Lord for his favor. Maybe you now ask, well, what is on the ground for the prayer? What's the foundation of my prayer? What was it for Daniel? Was it his own righteousness or the righteousness of his people? No. That's our third point. The ground for this prayer. It's not in man's righteousness. We read in verse 18, for we do not present our supplication before thee for our righteousnesses. To present it before the Lord, that means cause it to lie down, to fall prostrate. And we see Jairus coming. When he comes to the Lord, what do we see? We read, he fell down at his feet. There was a way of prayer in Israel. And here it is to lay down my petition and my request. And the word for present, you always see in the Bible with the word supplication. I present my supplication. Then he, as it were, lays down his request before the Lord. Here, Lord, here it is. It's only the right place to do. But what another cause that he presents? No, not for our righteousnesses, he says. It means not anything in myself, not anything in my people. I've just confessed, Lord, that we have sinned away. No blameless behavior of his people, oh no. No perfect actions according to the law. May we apply this to our days. God can never hear any of our prayers, dear friend, because there's something good in the country. Even if there would be good things, it would be mixed with sin. What does the Bible say? Even my good works, my best works, are for God as filthy rags. And if that's personal, is not more for the whole nation? And that's not even the case. The nation have sinned. The nations have sinned. There can be never the reason for God to listen to us. The opposite would be true, to punish. What do we need? Like Daniel, to fall on our knees and to pray and to confess. What? That we have no righteousnesses. As it can be hard to confess. It can be hard. That is, don't know what the Lord wants to hear. Flat on the face. Humble ourselves before him. My unconverted friend, what about you? You're like the true Israel. You also. God can never give it any way because of you. There's no righteousness at all. Nothing. Are you blameless?
No. That's not true.
You need to fall on your knees and confess everything you have. Yes, it is difficult. It's against my flesh to confess, certainly, but needed. And if not, my dear friend, then the unrighteousness will be learned. But then, as we read here, it was God's wrath that was revealed. And then in the full extent, let it come therefore. But what then is the reason for God to hear? What then can Daniel present unto the Lord in his prayer? Well, it's God's mercy, verse 19. But we present our supplications for thy great mercies. What reason is given here? But for. And the word for, you may also translate based upon, or because of, or with regard to. It's only based on something of, nothing of man, nothing in his prayer. But is prayer then not a means, you say? Do we not need to pray? Of course. God uses the means of prayer, but is never the foundation of his hearing. It's the same if you would have a child or a young man, and he has a room, and he has a room in the home, and he has ruined all his place. The walls are broken down. The carpet is full of ink. His bed is destroyed. He was jumping around. Now dad is angry. And the child realizes what is happening. And he comes to his father with tears and he says, Father, I'm so sorry. Will thou forgive me? Will thou clean up my room? And will thou help me and make it good again? Why would the dad listen to the child? Is it because he asked his father? No. Is it the way in which the dad wants to do it? Yes. But the only reason the dad wants to do it is because of his own heart. Because of her loving heart for the child. Well, this is with God too. Only because of himself he can do it. And what is the basis? Well, it is thy great mercies. Daniel knew exactly what the Lord had proclaimed to Moses. When God went before Moses when he was in that rock, do you remember? The Lord God, merciful and gracious and long-suffering. Exodus 34. And the word for mercy, that comes actually from the word to love someone or to have the affections of something in the womb. You can read the same kind of word in Isaiah 46. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And mothers know this affection. The child has been in the womb for 9 months and it has been growing there and it has carried been there. And there is some affection to the child. Then the child may cry and the mother hears. Why? Because there's affection in her heart. It comes from the womb. Well, this is true for the Lord as well. Such a care is what Daniel refers to. What is that? Well, that's to do with God's compassion, God's pity to a miserable sinner. Remember, God is unchangeable. It's not because there is something in that sinner, but because of his faithfulness and his love. Not his emotion, but it's the way how God acts to sinners. And finally, dear friends, this mercy of God is shown in the sacrifice of Christ. In that way, by punishing his son, he could be merciful to sinners. Has Daniel maybe looked at that? He was seeing that, maybe. Because the same chapter we have, at the end we find that he speaks about the Messiah that would come and be cut off. But congregation, maybe we pray for the nation. Is there a way of help of God? Yes. How then? God's mercy. Yes, God can hear a prayer for a miserable country, for a miserable state. Only because he has compassion in himself. Even on a wicked nation. Even on a nation that transgresses his law. Israel was wicked too. They offered their children to the Moloch. They offered to Baal. But God brought them back because of his mercies. And God can bring the U.S. also back because of his mercy. Plead in the Lord, Lord, turn the nation that it might become Christian again. Lord, art thou now merciful? Hast thou promised to show mercy unto thousands of them that love thee? What about our forefathers? It's not 1,000 generations away. Will they not listen to that and remember that? Yes, the Lord hears the prayer of his child. Then there is affection, and then there is compassion. The Lord can convert a whole nation very easily by his grace. But what is now the ultimate reason that the Lord hears? It's not God's mercy, even though it's part of it. It's his cause or his name. And that's what we read in our last verse, verse 19. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. This is the final pleading of Daniel. He cries out 3 times, O Lord, the master, the possessor. And he cries out 1 time, O my God, the strong one, the mighty one. What does he then ask for? Well, 5 different things. That the Lord may listen in the first place. That he may forgive in the second place. That he may prick up his ears and his hearing. That he may act and do. And 5th, that he will not delay his coming. Why not delay? Well, think about this. There were 70 years already passed by since the beginning of the captivity. And we see that in that way, the Lord had said already in the beginning, I will bring the people back after 70 years. He had promised it in Jeremiah. He had said, I will cause them to do good and to return to Canaan. And that was the basis for Daniel. In Jeremiah 29:10. So ultimately, Daniel asks it for the Lord's sake, for thine own sake. Jerusalem was connected with the name of God. Israel was connected with the people of God. They had his name. And Daniel says, Lord, what would other nations think about it? If they are connected to thy name and thou wouldn't help, wouldn't it cause trouble with thy name and thy cause? And 2nd, God had promised return. If God wouldn't listen to his prayer and would not do it, it would touch his own being because God would lie. And that cannot be the case. Congregation, do we see how Daniel did it? Pointing to God's honor and pointing to God's word. And if we seek the Lord's help, should we not ask for God himself, for his name's sake, for his cause? Can we not say, Lord, if the U.S. would not be converted, what do other nations say about thee? And what about the Christian roots? What about our Christian background? Lord, what will others think about it? Will it not much honor thee and thy name? Maybe not ask this, Lord, as thou not said in thy word to be merciful unto thousands of them that love thee. Look back, Lord, to those people that came, entered our country in the 1600s and wanted to build a Christian nation. Lord, delay them not. The Lord, look back. That's how it began. Are we not their descendants? Maybe then pray very firm. Lord, do. Lord, delay not. It is high time. National Day of Prayer. Tomorrow. How are we going to use it? Will we pray for our nation? What a blessing if the nation would become converted, dear friends. If the government may know God himself. What a glory and honor God would receive in that way. What a peace would it be in the nation and in the world. And what a blessing in the church. And the true church, dear friends, has tasted already something of it. They have tasted something to do something for God's honor and glory. And they will have an eternal peace, but never will be taken away. It is now with much challenges, but in principle it's there. And sinners, if God converts them, they will be saved, whatever nation they are, here or somewhere else, from eternal destruction. Let's therefore be much on our knees, dear friends, beg the Lord. Lord, do, and Lord, do not delay. Let's pray. Amen. Lord, and we come before thee in this evening service once more. We've heard thy word from the prayer of Daniel. We've prayed thee. Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. Defer not. And do, for thy great name's sake. Lord, would it be a glory for thy name if thou would convert the government in this day? If thou would convert the nation unto thee, that it may become a crying unto thee and a weeping about the sins, but also a glorifying of thy name, when sinners will be saved. Lord, that's our desire. May we ask thee for a blessed prayer day. May we ask thee for thy help. May we ask thee also for thy guidance when we go home. Protect us over unsafe roads and bring us back on thy day, coming Sunday. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We will now sing on Psalter 228, the stanzas 1 and 2. 228, 1 and 2. Lord of hosts in mercy, my supplicating here, Almighty and all faithful, our fathers, God, give ear. And what follows? 1 and 2 of 228. Of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Amen. Doxology is 197, both stanzas.
Blessed be Jehovah God, the God of Israel. so let it be. The whole earth let his Lord.